You don't need Gatorade. Did you go run a mile?
Hey, all you groovy cats and kittens out there in podcast land. We'd really appreciate it if you could support the show. It means we don't have to take on advertisers. Just go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and make a selection. Welcome to the Child Care Buyer and Girl Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And she's not talking to the mic, but Bug's hanging out. How you doing, Bug?
Good.
All right. Last episode, kind of some serious stuff we talked about. We're doing another stupid rules here, people.
To lighten the mood
a little bit. This is stupid rules. This is number... This is number 9 in the Stupid Rules series.
Almost two handfuls.
And
actually, you know what? Let me lead with one of the things that I said I wanted to talk about here prior.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, I wanted to recap why we're talking about this. We put the call out to Facebook for stupid rules that people have to deal with in the program. And they just keep coming. And the reason we're talking about them is because I think we need to acknowledge that this stuff happens out there in the early learning world, because if we don't acknowledge it and shine a little bit of a light on it, it keeps happening. So some of them we're going to spend some time talking about. Some of them we just kind of zip through and throw them out there. Most of the people that are posting these, our understanding is they worked in programs where these were the things, and they get away from those programs as fast as they can. If they find themselves in these programs now, they're kind of uncomfortable and feeling stuck and not kind of respected as professionals and all this other stuff. And our hope is that by shining a light on them, we can get people reflecting on their practice and maybe making some positive changes if they happen to be in a program where some of the stuff is happening. So what are we going to start out with, Lisa?
Well,
It kind of riffs on the
idea. Somebody jumped in the middle of all of this while the people were listing their stupid rules and said, wow, there's not a lot of understanding of child development here. And then somebody replied by saying, or a lot of power tripping. and that's true. But not power tripping of the people who've been responding, I would argue.
They're making the rules.
Who are making those rules. So kind of a lightning round. I don't think a lot of these need a lot of elaboration. Infants need a separate yard area, which we kind of get that that's a licensing thing, but people were posting pictures of the actual, like, baby gates.
Oh, yeah,
that they were required to have. Do you hear the paper being flipped in the background?
I need more flip chart pretty soon.
The children had to wash their hands after touching every single pet. The swings all had to. Children had to swing in the same direction. The bikes had to go in the same direction.
Did you get the coloring one? I think that was posted on my page. Somebody had to color in the same direction, and this happened.
Right. We were going to add that.
This is something she'd experienced when she was a child in fifth grade. She got points off an art project because the color strokes weren't in the same direction because they needed to be nice and neat and orderly. And she was drawing, I believe it was grass at a fair, and the grass was like wind blowing, and she got in trouble because all the grass wasn't going the same way. Talk about control.
You think? Yeah. Coloring in the same direction, bikes in the same direction, and swinging in the same direction. That's
what. What if all three rules were at the same place?
I'm sure they've got to.
They were inspired by One Direction. That's what happens when teachers grow up listening to that music. And that only teachers were allowed to push the kids on the swing, which I don't get behind
So one of the staff was like, the person that posted it was like, hey, I hate pushing kids on the swings. Why not let the other kids post them? Because then I don't have to do it.
Well, and then not to get all overly dramatic, but there are so few programs left that still have swings.
You know what?
Actual swings.
You should just be happy that you have swings and let the kids actually use them.
Embrace the swinging. And I think somebody posted that, you know, when kids are doing the pushing, there's kinesthetic awareness and there's hand-eye coordination and there's conversation.
Well, and that muscle strength just of building up your arms.
That's all pre-writing.
And physics, right? Yeah. Knowing when to scoot away and it comes back at you.
That's STEM. Pushing somebody else in the swing is STEM. I mean, if you break it down.
Right, yeah. Sitting for a circle, which we know that, you know, a lot of people are expecting
somebody was not only crisscross applesauce, you had to have your hands
touching
on your shoes.
Yes.
Because hands
are not for touching unless they're shoes.
Yeah.
Other human beings, no.
Ugh. If you were not potty trained, you had to stay in the 2-year-old room.
You would never be potty trained.
That poor 7-year-old.
Right? Wow.
Page 3. Helmets on the yard. They had to wear helmets not just when they were on bikes and trikes and stuff, but when they were on stuff. Like somebody had one of those merry-go-round kind of things. They had to have a helmet on. And they finally said, get rid of the equipment because this is ridiculous.
Good.
Then somebody did ask yesterday, there should be a contest for the stupidest prize.
stupidest rule. We're going to have a stupid prize stupid rule.
We'll make a shirt.
Maybe when we do the gig next June with Dan, we will have a stupid rules contest. Maybe we can build that into the registration process somehow.
Some of these we've done before, that all kids have to be in line of sight when they're peeing or using the bathrooms.
Somebody posted on my page that they had to do that, and then they told me a story about how in elementary school some 10-year-olds molested an 8-year-old or something. So the thing is, that stuff does happen, and... I'm thinking if you got an adult watching the other, the adult could be the pervert in those situations. So it's impossible to protect kids from all the potential things that can happen. And it's sad that those things happen, but there is no way you can create enough rules and enforce enough rules that are going to prevent all potential tragic things from happening. You can have a no sticks in the playground rule, and then somebody gouges their eye out with a drinking straw.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have a no running rule, and how many of us have worked with children who will just out of no place fall down standing at a painting easel and hurt themselves just standing.
Yeah, also I thought that only happened to me.
Yeah.
Nope. We know a couple.
So there's no way we can create enough rules to
avoid life.
Comes with negativity. Life comes with risk. Life comes with bad shit sometimes, and it's a sad reality that there aren't enough rules in the world that you can create and enforce that are going to prevent all that stuff.
True.
And attempting to limits freedom and trust and respect and all kinds of personal liberty, all this kind of stuff. And so I'm sorry bad things happen, but we can't prevent all of them. Hmm. Can we?
No, unfortunately.
No, and my brain is kind of going down, you know, in that particular example, you know, situation. If that child has, because kids molest other kids because they've been molested. So that kid is bringing that to the table, right? That's something that, you know, somebody standing at the door could potentially prevent it, but it's still not going after the root cause of that problem.
Yeah. That kind of brought that
up. Thank you.
I thought we should address it since it got posted there.
Sure.
Okay.
Teachers are only allowed to drink water in the classroom.
no beers?
No, I apparently no beer. And everything. There was one who said that
everything had to be in a clear container. Because we can't trust the teachers, apparently, to drink just water.
Well, I had to fire one because she was drinking vodka. Did you know?
Was it in a clear container?
No, it was in like one of those, you know,
those water
bottles that had the Tupperware flip lid on a while. Yeah, we found out anyway.
So I just come across those once in a while.
So,
but Jeff, I'll say Jeff brought up a good point, because initially when this got posted, we had a little bit of a banter about it, and I said, you know, I can kind of get behind the fact that teachers are sitting at lunch, drinking Coke, not eating the same family meal that everybody says. So I get, I have a problem with that. You know, if this is what you're saying kids should eat, you should be eating the same thing. And if you're not willing to eat it, then maybe that says something about what you're requiring the kids to do. So if we're trying to push back and, you know, decrease the amount of, you know, sugar and stuff, and so you don't want the kids drinking soda at school, I get that. So then the teachers are like, okay, well, if they're not allowed, then we're not allowed. Okay, I get all that. But then Jeff brought up a really interesting point. He goes, well, what about coffee? And then I found myself going, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you had a cup of coffee in your hand.
Ooh, because I had a cup of coffee in my hand. And then I was like, I don't know. And then my brain started to make up all these reasons why coffee should be exempt
should
from
be
that.
Okay. Yeah.
There's research behind it.
And the thing is, coffee's not a clear, coffee's not water. And
right.
And if so, that's going to be your rule, you got to enforce that rule. And imagine a early learning program full of adults who didn't get their coffee in the morning.
Caffeine fix. Ooh.
No. Yeah. Then they would be drinking things other than water.
Yeah, yes.
You know what? I don't care if adults eat and drink different stuff than kids. The kids are kids. And you want to eat adult stuff and drink adult stuff? Grow up to be an adult.
Yeah.
Well, get a job and go buy it yourself.
Right. a bathroom word. This showed up a couple times of people telling children, don't say that. That's a bathroom word.
I didn't look. I'd asked what words.
What words?
But I didn't look and see
that. I'm sure we could guess, you know, when you say poop and fart and all that kind of nonsense.
Why does it have to be in the bathroom?
I don't know. We don't subscribe to that. That's a bathroom word. I don't know. I don't get that.
Yeah,
that's just adults having a power trip over certain words that kids use.
Words
and what
words.
We know is that if the kids then know that you don't like that word, what are they
going to
say?
They're going to say those words because words are power.
Right. So sit still, moving only in straight lines, show up a lot. This one was interesting. She's a family child care provider, has a small number of children in her program, and she got written up because she didn't include the kid's last name in the attendance book. And she just thought that was a little extreme since it was a small group. And
you knew everybody.
Yeah, I know everybody there.
I know these six kids.
I know these six kids.
Yes,
and we only have one Sally. So
so we should be good. Yeah. This cropped up, and I think it's
oh, you know who wrote that one?
Who?
That Patrice, who gave us that bottle of...
Yes, it was Patrice in Michigan.
Oh,
yes.
We should have a toast.
Maybe we finished that bottle. Oh, no.
Was it the Jameson?
Jameson,
yes.
Huzzah.
To you, Patrice.
We've covered these before, but I get we're kind of lightning rounding today. No digging in the dirt. no Play-Doh allowed and no sand.
What if you combine the two? Would that be a loophole?
That would be a craft.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that.
I think that'd be delightful.
If you don't want them to dig in the dirt, then you need to not have a yard with dirt.
Yeah.
And if this is a rule that is currently applied to you, you need to get some more information. Kids need to dig stuff. So what can they be digging? I don't understand that.
Hey, dig those groovy tunes, baby. they're digging some funky jazz.
I dig your vibe.
Hey, I dig your vibe, man. I can't dig it. See that dirt over there? Can't dig over there. I'm
going to
stay over here. I'm going to stay over here and dig your vibe.
Got the strobe light going and the party light.
How about
light?
Digging in your ear? Maybe
your nose?
Yeah.
Your paint. No.
Shoes on at all times because that fire that, you know, is going to happen at any moment.
Well, you might lose socks or someone's shoes might get mixed up.
And I've talked about this in the workshop. So the way that I would handle that was that no teacher went up to the kid and said, hey, you know, you're allowed to take your shoes off here. But if a child wanted to take their shoes off, the structure, right? This is that the freedom within the structure was that if you wanted to take off your shoes, then your socks went inside your shoes and your shoes went in the shoebox. And at the end of the day, we're good to go, right? Whereas a lot of the naysayers think that exactly what you just said, their shoes everywhere, things are getting lost, there's socks everywhere. And I'm always like, you know, give me some benefit of the doubt. That why do you think that that's something that I would allow to happen? And even if it did happen, this should not be the hill that we're all dying on. But who wants to take a nap with their shoes on?
And at what age, with a little bit of support, can a child learn how to put their socks in their shoes and put them in the cubby? 2.5
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. I would say even
there's some 2-year-olds that can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Take your shoes off, knock yourself out.
Because when all the other kids are doing it, they do it. It's not a hard, painful thing. You know, part of this, the shoe bullshit is all related to the health and safety stuff with the fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could see it if there was a story on the news every other night about a child care program bursting into flame and burning down.
A shoe shortage or something?
But it's just not happening. And we just need to calm down about some of this stuff.
I agree.
And who doesn't want their toes wiggling when they're taking a nap?
Right. And why can't they go barefoot? Well, yeah,
I did have an interesting experience in our center days. We had the kids got to take their shoes off and their socks, and at the end of the day, a couple of them were in a pile and stuff, and they went home, and the one parent came back the next day and said, they're both the same shoe, but two different sizes. So, yes, the child, two children had the same shoes, but two different sizes, and they each went home with a slightly different, you know, the left and right didn't match up size-wise, but we sorted it out.
We figured it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember one, I don't think we wrote it up here, but somebody did post, we might have looked it over, that the kids were not allowed to come to program wearing buckles or tie shoes because it took too much time.
Oh, yeah, only Velcro or slip-on.
They were only allowed to have Velcro or slip-on shoes.
Because it was too hard, wasn't it?
It was or took too much time.
Oh, yeah.
But look at that. So that leads into this. It'd be a struggle. It wasn't going to be a struggle. This one program, they said that they were not allowed to pick up the children. They were not allowed to have the kids sit in the lap. And they were not allowed to be on the floor with the children because teachers don't have that kind of time. And to my understanding, this person is now a family child care provider to rules like this.
No, go through those again for me.
The providers were teachers. I don't know. I'm guessing it was a center. Mm-hmm. They were not allowed to pick up the children, the babies, the toddlers, because they don't have time. That was what she said.
Yes.
They were told that teachers don't have time for that.
Huh.
Yes.
It would almost seem that that's exactly what they should be having time for.
Exactly. And that was my question as I was writing it up, is what are they supposed to be doing?
Well, you got to get those hands washed and stuck in the air. And you got to go back to, I think, the very first or second stupid rules. You got to be enforcing keeping your feet out of the sandbox while they play in the sand. My gosh, how...
Yes.
How...
Exactly.
How does this place stay in business if the parents know this is happening?
Maybe parents don't know it's happening.
That could be. Or, you know, it's the only one available.
Let's try to come up with some things that the staff are doing when they're not, what are they doing online, online sales? Are they trying to sell timeshares online when they're watching the kids? What are they
supposed to be doing?
Are they also packing mailers for
do they have
they have like a Amazon warehouse in the back and they're packing orders?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is one of those ones where it would be nice to get a little bit more information.
Yeah. But, you know, the no on lap thing, I hear it's because of time, but there are places that don't allow, they'll hire a dude
but
and then
not
allow the dude to pick up a kid or have the dude sit on their lap. And that's heartbreaking as well.
To have the males treated differently. This one says that they're not allowed to have a swing set if the kids are under 3-year-old. But I think I miswrote that. I think it was that... If there were children
under three in the area,
they're not allowed to use the swings. The kids are able to bring their lunch from home, but they can't bring breakfast from home. Which, when Tasha and I saw that this morning, we're like, that's got to be a money thing. Like breakfast is funded, and so I want to get the butt in the seat.
No.
You don't think that's true?
No, I think it's because the milk from the Cheerios soaks through the paper bag.
Or something else just popped into mind. I mean, not everybody shows up for breakfast at the same time, and that child who shows up shortly before lunch and still wants to eat breakfast and then lunch.
So it's just not convenient for us to let you have your own breakfast. This one was kind of, this was a verbiage thing, but she was letting us know that they were supposed to say that it's not fair for the other kids if you get to gah. So it was more of a, if I'm meeting your individual need at the moment, I'm not allowed to do that because it's not fair to the other children. Mm-hmm.
So does fair mean everybody gets the same thing at the same time?
No.
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Moving on.
One program had a 5-minute whoopee limit, so it didn't matter. Well, you only were allowed to have your lovey for 5 minutes. So, and then her comment was like, sorry, you just walked in. Too bad. You get 5 minutes.
Yes. It starts when you went through the door.
A whoopee timer.
Yes.
Hey,
we
Rowan,
could sell that.
Rowan, you've had Mimi enough today. Can I have her for the rest of the day?
No.
Because why?
Because she's my favorite.
And you love her?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
She's looking around for us. I'm sitting on her.
One program, they were only allowed to use two colors of paint, although I think the elaboration on the Facebook was that the teacher would put out other more, but then
the assistant
then decided that there were... See, so, and that's where I want to say, not to throw this one under the bus, but that's not a rule.
That's a practice.
That's somebody's preference that now is being interpreted as the way we're supposed to do it.
I'll clean up two colors, but more than that...
That's it. I'm out of here.
Yep. It's mixing.
No water of any kind without a lifeguard.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
You couldn't have a pool or sprinkler.
Did that apply to sensory tubs?
Yes, it was a sensory tub.
So I envision this program with a drinking fountain mounted there on the wall. Right next to it is like the six foot tall lifeguard seat, and the lifeguard up there in the orange shorts and the sunglasses and the hat and the zinc oxide on the nose and the whistle, just keeping an eagle eye on the kids every time they come to the drinking fountain.
That would be a sweet job.
You think we got great jobs?
Lifeguard water fountain person.
It's really bad for your tan. You're not getting the tan. You're not getting the tan that the lifeguards on South Beach get. But
just
yeah,
your ankles
are right there at tasting level.
Yeah, tasting level.
The kids,
piranhas are coming.
The kids takes on a whole new.
The kids are standing in line at the drinking fountain, and it's a straight line, but it kind of goes sideways, and the second and third person in line are always messing with your toes. It would be kind of tough to have that job.
Tasha would love that job.
Drinking fountain lifeguard. Oh,
toes,
come on.
You don't touch my feet.
Okay.
No forts.
Yes, because they might fall over and hurt the person inside.
Even though they're made out of blankets.
Blankets and pillows and
not only well if it's a pillow and blanket fort they might suffocate
right
well
I can't see you
oh
yeah no pebbles allowed on the concrete, so if the pea gravel that's in the like play area gets on the concrete
it was a tripping hazard.
No pebbles allowed on the concrete.
Yes.
Because someone could trip on them.
Yes.
Oh, I thought.
Meanwhile, the playground is filled, like that's their surface, right? Instead of grass or sand,
yes,
they have those little pea gravel pebbles.
Yeah, I misunderstood. I thought that's where Fred Flintstone's daughter went, and just pebbles wasn't allowed
on
the concrete.
Yes, little redhead children are laying all over the playground.
Bam Bam can be on the concrete. I would want to keep Bam Bam off the concrete because he had that wooden club, and he'd be breaking up the concrete all the time.
And making large pebbles. Then.
Yeah, it'd be much, much riskier to have Bam Bam on the concrete than pebbles, I think.
I'm going to save the next one for the end. The teacher's uniforms had to be spotless at all times.
Yes. So the person who wanted to pull out the flower or the paint.
Or what if you got burped on or thrown up on?
Oh, I had to go home and change.
You had to go home and change.
Yes. Oh, that was in the comment section too. Yes.
Spotless at all. But they're working with children, Lisa Murphy. Oh,
This I said to Tasha as I was writing this up on the flip chart that we have here, that it reminded me of back in the day when I wrote the article about dress codes, and that nobody ever really said that you're not allowed to paint anymore, but now the dress code is so strict.
Mm-hmm.
That what ends up happening is teachers are like, shoot, I don't want to do this anymore because now I'm going to get sent home if my uniform or outfit is not considered spotless.
Yeah.
Or now I have to pay all this kind of money that I never had to pay before for the kind of clothes you're expecting me to wear.
Uh-huh.
So nobody ever said we can't finger paint anymore, but now I'm bringing to the table a lack of desire and lack of willingness to keep engaging
because
in those kinds of activities.
You didn't get an increase in wages for this uniform you're required to wear now.
I asked a group one time who's paying for the dry cleaning that's going to be required, and there was like, talk about crickets.
Yeah.
It
hurts. Let's do one more, and then I got to go have a cocktail or something. That's going to be sad.
Hold on.
We'll be quick. Come on.
Okay.
Let's finish.
The mandatory nap time fire drills. I mean, we're... that she's like, I get it. I get that, fire could happen at any time, but the toddlers just fell asleep.
And if they've practiced when they're awake, they'll be fine. Might be easier when they're sleepy.
How
round them up.
How many fires did you have in your program? How many years did you do direct care, and how many fires did you have?
direct care, probably 20 years.
And how many fires?
None.
And Tosh and I were both someplace around 26 years and zero fires. And if we take a poll of people, and maybe we'll do this later, if we ask people online, how many times has your program caught on fire in your career? The number's going to, for most of them, be zero.
And I will say, in the...
Just keep talking.
In the 20 years that I've been doing the care, I've been asked by two people, hey, we had a fire. What are you able to give us? You know, like your books got burnt, the DVDs got burnt. So two people in and the millions of people that we've probably all come into contact with has actually said, we have experienced this tragedy and we're reaching out to you.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. The other thing I always hear and I like to push back on again is, well, we could get sued. And a lot of these rules people create because they don't want to get sued. Programs aren't getting, I mean, we worry that we talk about how we're a sue-happy environment, but I ask on a regular basis in presentations, how many times has your program been sued? And I rarely see a hand go up.
Yeah.
And then it's something that they probably should have been sued over because it was probably either a silly thing that shouldn't happen and it was dismissed or whatever, or something that they were negligent because they had some warm body working for them and probably was a legitimate reason.
And that goes back to the trust and relationships component that should be starting at day one when you bring a parent into your program.
Yeah, yeah.
So toys have to be used the way in which they were meant to be used. And toys are not allowed to migrate through the classroom, which that comes up quite a bit, actually. Ooh, go ask Tutu.
One of the posts about toys using the way they were meant, she actually told one of them I saw on this topic was somebody told a story about how a staff person, the kids were using, they're building a maze with some balls and some little tiles, those tiles were for to recreate the shapes on the cards.
Like, oh, geez. Yeah.
And took them away.
Aye.
Because they weren't using them right.
So who didn't give her a birthday party when she was little?
Exactly.
What is the big deal? And then the one we have saved is this one teacher said that hand-over-hand art was required so that the kids sent stuff home that looked like something. Now, I will admit, I had an inkling of what hand-over-hand art meant. So I checked in with Jeff and Tasha, and they confirmed that the teacher actually would take the child's hand and actually make the project for them.
Guide them process so it was
art was happening.
Whoa!
At all.
So yes. The rule is that what?
The teacher did the art. The teacher moved the child's hand so it didn't look like
scribbles or anything, but it actually looked like something.
So the teacher's hand was over the child's hand. And moved the kid's hand to, quote-unquote, do the project.
Oh, well, that only makes sense. I mean...
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want anything good...
What the hell, people? But don't...
Why do we not say... Well, actually, we can't assume that. Because our sense is that these folks have moved away from these programs.
Yeah.
But the fact that they still exist... You know, that we have to quit a program in order to get change to happen can be a little frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, early learning people out there in podcast land, if you have an administrator or a co-teacher or a director who's wanting you to do something and it makes you feel icky in your tummy.
And you know the science behind it.
If you're feeling icky in your tummy about stuff you have to do in your job, you need to talk to somebody about it. Call us, Facebook us, message us. You shouldn't feel icky in your tummy about the things you need to do in early learning programs. And if you're feeling that way, because you're feeling forced to enforce stupid rules, it's time to make a ruckus and step back and change. And maybe that means getting the rule changed and educating the people in that program, or maybe it means finding another program to work in, or maybe it means starting your own program, or maybe I don't know what it means for you, but don't keep going to work with that icky feeling in your tummy. Life is too short for that.
Here.
I just needed to say that.
Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Anything else we need to say to wrap up?
No, I think it's time to go. I
think it's time to go. We need something. We need to go be sad.
We need nourishment.
We need to go be sad about this. Hey, we'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Come to UnCon. Check out the wiki, earlychildhoodwiki.com. Lisa and I are going to be with Dan Hodgins in the Minnesota area in June of 2017. Come and see us there. And keep in touch with us online. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
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 This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.